Listener supported. WNYC Studios.
It's the Brian Lehrer Show on WNYC. And now a follow-up to some of the facts and characterizations that came up in my conversation this week with Thomas King, head of the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, which is the NRA's local chapter here in New York. Did you listen on Wednesday? We had what is safe to characterize as a very lively conversation on a range of issues. And the conversation has continued on our website with more than 200 comments as of this morning. That's the most comments of any segment so far this year. Participate if you like at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehrer Show. And by the way, anyone who says that internet comments pages are worthless has not been on our pages. By and large, the conversation, even around this difficult issue, has been civil, productive, and fact-based mostly. So we thank you all for being that way. Anyway, let's start our follow-up with a clip from Thomas King on Wednesday's show during our back and forth about what gun control advocates say is a flood of illegal weapons into New York City and state. Here's what Thomas King had to say.
Were you aware that the State University of New York at Albany did a research study on this 2 years ago, maybe 3 years ago now? And contrary to what the mayor says, they found that over 80% of the guns that are prevalent in the illegal guns that are prevalent in New York State come from New York State, that they don't come from other states.
80% of the guns come from within New York State, the illegal guns, not, as we usually hear, from the southern states with more lax gun laws than New York has. Well, Brian Lehrer Show producer Jody Avergon did some calling around on this claim yesterday. Hey, Jody.
Hey, Brian.
You checked in with SUNY Albany, which he said did that study, right?
That's right. So we reached out to SUNY Albany, and I reached Alan Lazult, who's the dean of the School of Criminal Justice there. And he couldn't join us this morning because he's on a plane trying to get back to Albany before they get snowed in.
Okay.
But he told me, quote, "I don't know of anybody at SUNY Albany who would have done that study. If somebody did, I would know about it." And we reached back to Thomas King at the New York Rifle and Pistol Association to find out what study he was referring to. And we haven't gotten a response. So we're still trying to find this study.
And the assertion that 80% of illegal guns in New York State come from New York State, did you fact check that elsewhere?
Right. So putting aside where this number may have come from, there actually isn't really a simple way to fact check a stat like that. And that's kind of the story. The data is so incomplete, it's hard to get a real clear picture. But if we take King's statement at his word and look only at illegal guns that are in New York State as opposed to city, an important distinction, then it might be that around 80% originally come from New York, though most of the law enforcement officials I spoke to yesterday, including Alan Lazout from SUNY Albany, were very highly skeptical of that number. The problem is that not all guns that can be traced are illegal, and not all illegal guns can be traced.
And you did find some data from ATF, the Federal Bureau of Alcohol, Tobacco, and Firearms. What did they say?
Right. So they have a data set. Their most recent numbers are from 2011 guns seized in New York State. And in 2011, of the 8,793 guns recovered in New York, the source state was found in only 4,793 of them. Of those, 3,198 came from out of state. So that's about 67% of guns they were able to trace came from out of state.
So two-thirds of traceable illegal weapons were from out of state, according to ATF.
Right. So New York was the single state that was the biggest source, but every other state accounted for about two-thirds.
So in order to get from that 33% of illegal guns that were recovered and traced, according to ATF, within New York State, to the 80% of illegal guns within the state that Thomas King cited, you'd have to assume that a vast majority of illegal guns were not being traced and that a majority of those guns happened to be from in-state.
That's right. And I presented that possibility to all the experts I spoke with yesterday, and most were highly skeptical. But that is, in theory, a possibility. Now, when you talk about New York City, you get a different set of numbers entirely. The mayor of illegal guns claims that 85% – mayors against illegal guns claims that 85% of illegal guns recovered in New York City originate from out of state. And again, you get that important distinction between city and state. And again, the real important – issue is that you can't point at one data set and say, okay, this paints an accurate picture of the nature of illegal guns in New York City and New York State.
All right. Brian Lehrer Show producer, Jody Avergan, thanks for running some of that down for us.
And if people want to look at this data themselves, we have it on our website. There's a great interactive map where you can click on New York State and see, using that ATF data set, where all the guns are flowing into this state from.
Great. And to discuss this further, we welcome Paul Brown, Deputy Commissioner for Public Information for the NYPD. Commissioner Brown, thanks so much for doing this. Welcome back to WNYC.
Thank you. Good morning.
I want to get your take on those stats that we just cited. Do you think 80% of the guns used in crimes or seized as illegal weapons in New York City come from within New York State?
Well, we know they do not. 2011 is the last complete analysis, but I've talked to our gun people this morning. They say 2012 looks almost identical in terms of proportion. Let me give you a rundown of what we found out in 2011. We recovered a total of what we call crime guns in New York City in 2011, 3,980 illegal guns, guns that were used in crimes. Not only were they illegal, but used in crimes. Of those, 2,433 were traced. These would be guns connected with murders and serious injury. The number one state, now you take all of those 2,433 that were traced, 90% originated from out of state. The number one state was Pennsylvania. The number two state was Virginia. The number three state was New York State itself, guns originating in New York State. Number four was South Carolina. I'm sorry, three was South Carolina. Four was North Carolina, et cetera. I misspoke. New York State was number five.
Mm-hmm.
But when you take the whole universe of all states contributing, of 90% of them are out of state, and what we call the Iron Pipeline states, mainly to the south of us, beginning with Pennsylvania, including Virginia, the Carolinas, Florida, Alabama, et cetera.
What is it about those states' laws, including Pennsylvania, which is so close, that enable them to ship illegal guns to New York in such numbers?
Well, it's that New York City is so tough, really. Everything else is easy by comparison. There's a gun store right next to nearby police headquarters that sells guns, pistols, rifles, etc. The sign on the store says New York City police officers only. They only serve because it's the ability to carry, certainly to walk out of a store and carry a gun in New York City, is much tougher. You have to have a background check and be licensed by New York City Police Department before you can even walk into that store and handle a gun. You have to have a document that says it's okay for you to own one, even before you buy it. So that makes it much tougher. You can go to Pennsylvania, and what typically happens is some young male, usually New York City, somewhere, goes to Pennsylvania where he has a girlfriend or a cousin, somebody with no record. They walk into a store. The guy from the city picks out five or six guns. When it comes to pay for it, this is a classic straw purchase. The girlfriend, the cousin, whatever, she produces the ID for a check. And then if there's no criminality, no reason to ban you from buying the gun, you can get it. New York City, you have to demonstrate a reason for needing the gun.
NYPD Deputy Commissioner Paul Brown. I want to play another exchange from my interview with New York State Rifle and Pistol Association President Thomas King. Here we're discussing the tools available to police when it comes to tracing guns.
And that ability is already there for law enforcement officers. If they are working on an active crime, they have access to that. The thing that is not allowed is universal access to have a total list of everybody who owns a long gun in the state or in the nation. And that has been discussed many, many times by a lot of appellate courts, and I think the Supreme Court even ruled on that at one time. And frankly, that's illegal.
How could police trace those guns when they're in criminal investigations if the guns aren't marked?
What do you mean they aren't marked? They all have a serial number on them.
And are those serial numbers traceable to the person who bought the gun?
Absolutely. And they have been for 40 years. What you're perpetuating by asking the question are the fallacies that the anti-gunners use to scare the public. Everything that they're asking for already exists.
Thomas King from the New York State Pistol and Rifle Association on Wednesday. Paul Brown, Deputy Commissioner of the NYPD, with us. Do you have a reaction to that exchange on the facts?
Well, there's a couple of things that weren't discussed that are relevant, certainly in New York City. One crime, in addition to having a gun illegally, if you have in your possession a defaced gun, that's a separate crime. What does that mean? That means the serial number that was on the gun when it was manufactured has been removed, you know, with a screwdriver or something, or sanded down so that you can't trace it. So your caller was right in saying that all guns, when they're manufactured, have a serial number that can trace it back to where it was manufactured and who the manufacturer first sold it to. But if the subsequent owner gets rid of that serial number and then it's used in a crime in New York, we don't know where the gun came from. Where there are serial numbers, we'll find out it was manufactured, say, in at a major gun manufacturer. ATF, not us, we can't do it. Only ATF can do this. Contacts that gun manufacturer. Where did that gun go after it was manufactured? It goes to ABC Gun Store in Virginia. Okay, contact the gun store. If ABC Gun Store went out of business, say, 10, 15, 20 years ago, that's the end of it. There's no requirement to maintain records. We run into that dead end very often.
So is there anything else that the NYPD wants along those lines?
Well, the things that President Obama has proposed in terms of universal background checks is a big help for us, because one of the big, you've heard of the gun show loophole. That means that after I buy a gun, say legally from that gun store in Virginia, I can sell it to anybody I meet at a gun fair or individually, person to person, without any background checks between us. So say I buy a gun legally in Virginia, I send it to a guy I meet at a gun show somewhere. Mm-hmm. I don't even know who he is. He doesn't have to identify himself or run a background check. I don't have to get a background check from him, et cetera. So if that guy goes out and uses it to kill somebody in New York City, we don't know. Even if you trace it back to the original buyer, he can legally say, well, I just sold it to somebody. I didn't get his ID, or I don't know who he was. But, you know, we paid cash, and that was that.
But the background check will close that loop.
Exactly.
Go ahead.
I could give you a real-life example quickly.
Sure.
Police officer Peter Fukowski. That gun that was used to murder
killed
him.
Killed last month.
Actually killed in December of 2011.
Okay.
That gun that was used to kill him was purchased in a pawn shop in Virginia. The man who purchased it had moved to Florida. He claimed he was being evicted when he lived in Virginia and boxed up a bunch of belongings, including his gun. And after he moved, he never came back to get his boxes. So he doesn't know what happened with the gun after that. So this notion that just because it has a serial number is that you can immediately find out who, if it's used in a crime, the police can immediately find out who the criminal was, is nonsense.
Another clip from my exchange with Thomas King from the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association on the show on Wednesday. And here he kind of takes it to you guys, the NYPD. Listen.
In big cities, they don't don't enforce the laws. 3 years ago, the New York Times had this very article: New York City fails to enforce gun laws. Reading through the article, there were 1,900 illegal gun arrests made in New York City. Only 300 of them were prosecuted. And this comes from the mayor, who is the leading advocate, anti-gun advocate in the United States. Come on, give me a break.
What kind of gun laws do you think New York City is not enforcing, and why? He's already in trouble with many communities for stop and frisk, which is an aggressive anti-gun program.
Yeah, but they don't do anything after that. You know, stop and frisk is an infringement of anybody's rights for search and seizure. And I'm not really going to comment on that other than saying they don't enforce the laws. You know, they arrest somebody, they let them go. 300 out of 1,900 is an abysmal record.
So, Commissioner, that was news to me. I didn't know that the NRA affiliate in New York opposes stop and frisk. Did you?
No, I hadn't heard. I hadn't heard them weigh in on it.
Any reaction to that?
Well, I think they may have issue with the fact that we took about 800 guns off the street through stops each year, but I don't.
And the thing that he said at the beginning of that exchange, that 3 years ago the New York Times reported on how New York City failed to enforce gun laws, only 300 out of 19 gun arrests. What's your reaction to that?
Well, you know, we, in a perfect world, we'd like to see everybody. We have tough gun laws on the books. They don't always translate into people going to jail. Police department would like to see anybody arrested with a gun do serious jail time. In theory, they do, but in the reality of negotiated pleas, judges using their discretion, very often we'll see people who've had criminal possession of a weapon charge arrested with a gun. We'll see them later, not too long later. We're arresting them for shooting somebody or a police officer because they haven't done any significant jail time. So I think on that issue, he has a point.
Let me play one more clip, and this is actually from a different recent guest, our new congressman from parts of Brooklyn and Queens, Hakeem Jeffries, who is wondering why the federal ATF has such a low profile in the city's biggest gun crime neighborhoods. Listen.
The ATF is responsible for enforcement of illegal interstate gun trafficking. And at least in my capacity as a member of the Assembly for the last 6 years, I've seen no evidence that they've been actively involved. Now, if they're not in Harlem, the South Bronx, East New York, or Bedford-Stuyvesant, where are they?
So is he right to wonder about ATF, or do they work aggressively in Bedford-Stuyvesant and Harlem and East New York and work closely with the NYPD?
The ATF does work very closely with the NYPD. They're a very cooperative partner of ours. They're in firearms cases, in tracing guns, et cetera. The problem is they're a small agency. They're kept small, and their authority has been restricted over the years by gun advocates who feel they have too much authority. So pound for pound, they're very good. The problem is they're not funded to the level you would anticipate for considering the responsibilities they have in the area of firearms in particular.
We've been fact-checking statements made on Wednesday by Thomas King, head of the New York State NRA affiliate called the New York State Rifle and Pistol Association, with Deputy NYPD Commissioner Paul Brown. Listeners, go ahead and comment on our webpage at WNYC.org. Click on Brian Lehr Show. And just before you go, is the NYPD preparing in any way for the storm?
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, we'll have police officers on extended tours. We're going to have lots of tow trucks out to help with stranded motorists. We'd like people to stay off the roads as much as possible, but we're going to have extra personnel there. We're making arrangements to make sure our 911 operators can get into work, et cetera.
Commissioner, we so appreciate you coming on and giving us your time today. Thank you.
Sure. Bye-bye.
Brian Lehrer on WNYC. Coming up next, the three main researchers in the new study that compares Israeli and Palestinian textbooks for inflammatory language. The Israeli, Palestinian, and American researchers will all be here. Stay with us.